with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Everyone likes the idea of being compassionate, right? You might think, I'm a compassionate person. Well, sometimes we have problems of our own, right? We have problems we're dealing with ourselves. So how can we be compassionate for someone else's problems when we have our own problems? How does that work? Can you do that? Can you help someone else and be compassionate if you have problems of your own? I think that's the perfect time to do that. Honestly, I think that when you're down and you're dealing with a lot of things, that's a perfect time to go try to help someone else. Why would I say that? Exactly. Someone always has it worse than we do. Someone always has it worse. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever problem you have in your life, someone always around you is going to have it worse than you. We just got to find that person, right? Try to find that person and help them. Be compassionate. That's what he's trying to tell us here. To rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. And live in harmony with one another. Sometimes we can't find these things out if we don't talk to people, right? That requires us to communicate and to be involved with other people, to try to listen to them and find out what they're dealing with. Let's see. The second half of verse 16 there says, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. What's he talking about here? What's he describing? Conceit? Yeah. So what's the opposite of that? Prideful? Yeah. Humility, humbleness, right? He's telling us to be humble. Are we humble in everything that we do? That's pretty hard to do, right? Are you humble about everything that you own? Every physical thing that you own? Everything that you've accomplished in your life? Are you humble about that? It's hard to do sometimes when someone asks you about it. Hey, I really like that car you got. Hey, you're doing great with this. It's hard to not just let it all out and tell everybody about it, right? It's hard to not do that and to actually be humble about it all the time. He says, never be wise in your own sight. I got that down. But he's telling us to be humble in everything, in not thinking that we're smarter than we really are, right? He wants to keep us in check. He wants us to keep ourselves in check so that we don't think too much of ourselves. What happens when we think too much of ourselves? Selfish? Yeah. Arrogance? Absolutely. And what does that lead to? Sin? Absolutely. Because we think, I got this. I'm a good, solid Christian. I do everything God wants me to do. I got this all wrapped up. Everything's fine. That's exactly when problems happen. When we think that we're fine, that's when Satan comes after us, right? That's the time he strikes, that he says, they're not looking out for it. That's when I'm going to pounce. So let's move back toward this idea of not retaliating, of not taking revenge. That's what I want to focus on for the rest of the time here. In Matthew chapter 5, let's turn over there if you would. So we read Romans 12, verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. So we look over at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. He kind of talks about this with retaliation. And things are going to happen to us. People are going to persecute us. Probably not as much as in other countries of the world. But people are going to say things to us. People are going to make comments at the bare minimum. And then go from there. What do we do with that, though? How do we react? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38 says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Why would he tell us? Why would Jesus tell us to not resist evil? What does that mean? To accept it? Well, kind of. He's telling us to not resist it. It sounds wrong, but he's telling us to let it happen. Don't resist it. Let it happen. Evil is going to happen to us, right? Bad things are going to happen. That's part of life. We have to be aware of that and be willing to accept it. That's what he's trying to tell us. Do not resist the one who is evil. Accept what they're doing to you. Turn the other cheek, right? That's easy to do, isn't it? Turn the other cheek. I don't know if anyone would say that that's easy. It's probably one of the hardest things to do, right? To turn the other cheek, to just let it happen. Let the bad thing happen to you. Now, oh, sorry, yeah. Jump up and down. And you kind of have to prepare for that a little bit too. Because if it just blindsides you, like a literal slap in the face would, that you're not ready for it and you're not prepared for it, how are you going to react? Yeah, go ahead.
Let your light shine.
Absolutely. That's the end goal of this, right? And we'll read about that in a little bit, back in Romans 12. But to have the attitude that no matter what someone does, it doesn't really affect you that much. You're more concerned about them than what's happening to you. And realizing that they're jeopardizing their soul by what they're doing to you. And have that kind of an attitude. Autumn. Right. Absolutely. And when we try to justify or pay back the evil that's being done to us, does that help anything? No, absolutely not. It makes it worse most of the time. When we try to get revenge for something. We have a party, right? Right. Yeah, you can't tell someone, well, that's what you deserve, right? That's a terrible thing to say. That we are getting joy out of them suffering because, well, you did something bad to me, right? You know, we try to correct our kids in that and prevent them from doing that, but I think a lot of times we do the same thing that our kids do. Jake? yeah, resisting evil is a requirement of a Christian. That we can't let evil come into our lives. But when it happens to us, what is our attitude? Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So back in Romans 12, before we run out of time, Romans 12, verse 17 continues this thought, and it says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." What does that do? If you're nice to someone that's not nice to you. Yeah, shame. Yeah. Pricks their conscience. Yeah, it's going to make them think. And what happens when we do that is it takes the power away from them. It takes the power that maybe they think they have. Maybe they know they have. Maybe they don't know they have the power over us. And it takes that, like Autumn was saying, that it removes the power of the devil and the evil that's coming upon us if we have a different attitude about it. That's what he's trying to get us to realize here, that if you're nice to the person that's persecuting you, it may not only change their attitude, but it's going to give you some peace to know that no matter what happens, it doesn't matter. Again, this life is short. Whatever problem it is, it's not going to last forever. It's not that big of a deal, no matter what they're doing to you. And you can have some peace in that. And that's what he's trying to get us to understand with a lot of these things. And to realize that we can have control over these things. We can not just have the idea of not being vengeful, but actually do it if we have the right attitude. And that's the key. Thank you.